Mayor Dobie's joining us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing good. What about the reopening of City Hall? How's that going, or when is it going?
Yeah, well, we're continuing to reopen locally here. People have probably been able to drive downtown and start to see people going out to dinner and starting to engage the economy. In fact, the city collaborated with the DDA to put more of our fencing out the sidewalk downtown so that the local restaurants could expand out into the I think we've been out a couple of times since to help support downtown businesses, but similar to the downtown businesses, City Hall is looking to reopen after we come back after the 4th of July, so sometime around July 6th. So we're taking those precautions. People probably haven't seen the inside of City Hall, but when they do get back into City Hall, they're going to see a lot of new precautions. We put up, I guess, kind of what you call them, sneeze guards in front of all of the places of interaction between city staff and the public. So those have gone up. We contracted that work out. And, yeah, you know, it's a slow and
you mean you couldn't get
process.
You couldn't get Marty to put those up?
Well, Marty's going to get some on his floor. So,
is he? Okay.
Yep. Yeah, they don't go all the way up to the ceiling because we got, you know, higher ceiling there. But they do go up enough to provide, I think, adequate protection, even for 6'3" mayors like me. So I think it'll be good. And also took some other precautions on the side there with kind of building up the wall and closing it off on the first floor. So it'll look a little bit different walking in. And then each of the departmental floors has similar guards on it where there's a window. So the third floor has been boxed in, you know, and so on and so forth. So we'll have we'll start to reopen ourselves and get back to some degree of normalcy here. I think probably the unless Governor Whitmer extends it again, I'm guessing that the July meeting might be our last digital meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be probably back to some degree of normalcy for our city council meetings in August, and you know, have to look at how we do social distancing at the city council chambers and that. But yeah, it's starting to get back to a little bit of normalcy even within City Hall.
You're taller than 6'3", aren't you?
No.
Wow.
I grew like a bean in high school and stopped growing since. Now I'm just growing out.
Oh, come on. You're thin as a rail there.
Well, I've put on 50 pounds since high school, so I'm
wow.
I'm working on my dad bod.
I thought maybe you were going to be a globetrotter or something. Jeez. Racism was a big topic last week. Not only your meeting, the county meeting, you guys kind of went in different directions. Can you break that down for us?
Yeah, pretty stark contrast. I continue to talk to more people that were disappointed in the county commission's decision to not go forward and support County Commissioner Daniel Mahoney and Darius Williams' intentions to in a resolution to declare racism a public health crisis in the county. That motion failed 7-2 at the county. I drafted a similar resolution at the city to declare racism a public health crisis, to state emphatically that we're going to work to reduce the disparity that we see here between certain populations and emphatically our African-American community that we have here. And to go through implicit bias training and work on racial equity here at the city and reviewing our internal policies, our ordinances to make sure that we're building a more racially and socially equitable city here. Drafted that resolution, put it on the consent calendar for consideration of council, and it didn't even get lifted off the consent calendar. It passed unanimously. The approval for a Black Lives Matter mural on High Street and the mural on Washington in front of Sheriff Rand's office passed unanimously as well. I think it's important that our city sends a message that we hear the protesters, we hear those that have those voices that have long been neglected or downplayed or skewed in some sort of manner, and that we're going to do something about that we have at hand, disparities and inequities that exist in our community, and emphatically the systemic racism that permeates a lot of our institutions, both in Jackson but across America. And we're going to do something about that here in Jackson. We're going to lead on it. The first step is to declare it a problem and a health crisis, and the second is to do something about it. So I think that's what you saw the city take pretty emphatically, to get behind that message and to show those in our community that we're going to stand with them and certainly work with them to address those changes.
Certainly the council is on board fully, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, I've had a productive conversation since. I know you know, Commissioner Mahoney is also the president of the Jackson County Branch NAACP. So he's got a meeting coming up, I think, Thursday night to talk about how they can kind of take this moment and translate it into actionable steps. I have a meeting with our police chief on Friday to talk about some steps that we can take, and planning a larger meeting to talk about some of the policy and programmatic measures that we can take at the city of Jackson to help effectuate some change on racial inequities and social equity. So I think those are going to be productive conversations, because, you know, council is adamant that it's a moment in history that calls on us to act, and we're going to meet that challenge in doing so.
How does the city police department play into that? Would they get expanded diversity training or something like that?
Yeah, so they a lot of the officers, the leadership, go through extensive trainings. Mm-hmm. Obviously, not only for policing, but on a number of those issues around racial equity. So I think we're going to expand that at the city, make sure that other city leaders and staff go through that. You know, over years past, when I first got elected mayor, we put all the staff through Bridges Out of Poverty training. A number of our staff had gone through racial equity training in Detroit. So I think we're going to expand that. The police department, as we talked about before, does a tremendous job already in taking a number of these proactive steps that we're seeing protesters and activists call for now in other communities, things that we already do here in the city, banning chokeholds, requiring a duty to intervene, other policy measures that we have in our use of force policy that already exists here in the city. So I think, you know, we're already in a good position, but there's interest in doing more and continuing to be proactive on this measure. And I think that those that have been organizing and seeing what we've seen and across the country, it's incumbent on us to act here in Jackson to prevent those sorts of tragedies from happening here.
Yeah, a lot of communities, probably bigger than ours, are talking about kind of a public oversight. I would assume here our oversight is the city council.
Yeah, ultimately everything rests on, frankly, ultimately everything rests on the oversight of the public. You know, the public elects us as city council members and mayors, and as a representative form of democracy, you know, that's incumbent on us to act, but ultimately we're accountable to the public.
Right.
Now, I've seen so that the buck, you know, does stop there. But I do think that we've seen other communities that have engaged their citizenry at different levels of the process. You know, Lansing has a police commission. The police commission works to review their internal policies, their use of force, you know, things like their policy around body cam. They also work to review any sort of internal use of force complaints and things like that, so that there's more direct public oversight and accountability that is also advising, being more specifically trained on the internal policies within the police department up there, and making recommendations to the mayor and to the council in Lansing. They also do the budget recommendations up there. They have a little bit different of a process than we do, but you know, I'm not opposed to that, and that's one of the things that I've already talked to the chief about, and to other community leaders about, of how we not as a punitive measure, but as a collaborative measure to strengthen the bond between the public and the community and the police department, is to consider some of those commissions and that sort of work in that sort of space of improving the transparency between the good work that GPD does and the citizens, because I think oftentimes we're too focused on the negative work, that the negativity that can surround law enforcement, and you know, we do a lot of positive stuff here at the city. So we want to be very proactive. We want to acknowledge and affirm that you know, we see the problems that exist and are popping up in other communities, and recognize that to a large extent that's a effect of systemic racism that has permeated a lot of institutions for centuries.
Let's talk about the roads for a second. You have the two major projects underway, but it looks like sometime in the near future we'll get that Morrell Street.
Greenwood
mm-hmm. taken care of.
Yeah, Greenwood should be, I think they finished their concrete work. They were letting that cure. They put the top, the asphalt coat down. And in fact, if you drive by there on Morrell, we finally tore down the old, I forget what it was called, Gooman, I think.
Yeah.
Auto shop on the corner there that was, very blighted. So once we open that back up and people take a drive through there, that whole corner will look completely different. And obviously the road and that whole playground and intersection will look completely different. So that was one of the big kind of blighted properties coming into downtown off of Greenwood. So
is something happening at that corner, Derek?
Not yet. That was just an enforcement matter, and the fact that it was just a dilapidated building for I think for a time there was a biker group using it. I'm not sure the legality of their use, but no, that was enforcement measure to kind of start to get rid of some of the blight and start to clean up the neighborhood and make some of these parcels more redevelopment ready. Because once going and the progress continues out of downtown, there's a whole swath of land there along Greenwood that's going to be, you know, prime for redevelopment.
And the other two projects are going strong, right?
Yeah, you look at drive around Jackson and you see a lot of orange barrels out. You know, we got the Franklin Street project. If you drive around Louis Glick right now, they are starting, City of Michigan is starting the railroad project. So we just approved the last council meeting, the transformer going in at the Grand River Park across from the Grand River Market.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to allow for kind of the work in and under the railroad bridge there, and they're basically going to be reconstructing that line from the train station up to over the bridge on Mechanic Street and Jackson Street there. So if you look at the when big trains are coming through there, it is a pull to get up that hill, albeit, you know, how slight it is, but it's a fairly steep angle. So I think that's going to correct some of that work is going to correct some of that problem that some of the trains have had coming through Jackson, but also repair some bridges that have been, I don't know when the last time it was, probably, you know, the original steel bridges when those were put in. But I think those projects are going to be great and continue to transform what downtown looks like.
So what's going in at that corner? Wouldn't that be right across from Fuller's Chem-Dry?
Where's Chem-Dry?
On Louis Glick.
Well, there's a new bank going in there.
There was an old bank building there.
Yep. So they're building new up there.
Okay.
And then down a little ways at Mechanic is where they're doing all that work to prep for the for the railroad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so a lot, you know, it's I think a couple of weeks ago I gave an interview with M Live about what I thought about Jackson kind of reemerging and the economy reopening. I said that the economy, people and business owners and residents here have a lot of grit, and I think that's shown to be true, that as we're reopening our economy, it's bouncing back in the construction projects and the development and the interest in continuing the momentum that we had before the coronavirus hit and we started to shut down. All of that energy and momentum is starting to come back, and it's exciting.
Jackson Mayor Derek Doby, you get a nap in today, Derek.
Yeah, the little one woke me up a little too early today.
So. Hey, take care.